And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, we're going to be talking about Medicaid and Obamacare, and I will tell you this. During my time in the legislature, I remember being just amazed by the fact that, so Alabama, if you're not familiar, has two budgets. We're one of only three states in the nation, I believe, that still uses has a split budget. Everything education is in one. Everything else it takes to run the state is in the other. That's called the general fund budget. General fund is always woefully underfunded by comparison to education. I believe they hit roughly $2 billion this year in the general fund budget. General fund includes Medicaid. Medicaid and corrections, the prison system, those two things right there, last I remember, they consumed something like almost 44% of the general fund budget just by themselves, those two things. It's a huge, huge bite of the apple, if you know what I mean. So we're going to be talking about that, how it impacts our state to even consider expanding. Before I do that, though, I got a caller on the line. Let me get to that real quick. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. So I have a rudimentary understanding of state budget. Certainly nothing compared to you having worked in, you know, being in the state Senate. But Alabama has to balance its budget, correct?
Right. That's correct. We have a balanced budget requirement, yes.
Unlike other states like, say, California that spends themselves into oblivion, you know, year after year after year, right, and doesn't really have to abide by a balanced budget, we do. So my question is, so expanding Medicaid, from what I can remember, there was federal subsidies, right, which is what part of Obamacare was, and if you expanded Medicare, you would get these subsidies, but they weren't forever and they weren't guaranteed, right?
That's correct.
So if we take this expansion, though, we would have to keep it. And even if they stopped the federal subsidies, we would still have to remain. We couldn't then just suddenly cut back.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay, so my question is, it sounds great in high time, but in lean time, in a state that has to balance its budget every year, it could literally not just list us 45 degrees, but flip us over and then some. And sink us to the bottom. And I think that you have to be extremely careful in taking on, especially with an aging population that we have, and looking at a recession, I think that it would be insane right now to expand. That's my personal opinion, because you're just gambling, and you're gambling against the house that always wins. So,
man, you do this so well. I mean, like Boomer's over here going, because you just hit it. But that you're spot on. And the other piece that it does, Lee, is it like roughly 25% of Alabama's population is currently on some portion or form of Medicaid. And and that being said, it just incentivizes people further to not have to go into the workforce because they get their insurance whether they're in or not. And so you run the risk of driving people away from productivity as opposed to into productivity.
I agree, and I work kind of in a field that involves a lot of hiring, and I can tell you that it's been very difficult over the past 2 years to get people to work.
Yeah.
Very difficult, and I mean with the increase in per hour rate, I laugh at $15 an hour minimum wage. What a joke. We can't get people to work for $15 an hour for the company I work for. We can't get them to show up for $15 an hour. So, haha, on $15 an hour minimum wage. And these aren't people with college degrees.
I totally get it. But, hey, if you promise to pay off their student loans and put them on free medical care and give them expanded unemployment compensation, why would they?
Absolutely.
They're getting paid to stay home.
They'll game the system. People will always game the system. That's just human nature. They will game the system for every nickel. And just one other thing. My uncle was part of Merrill's Marauders. I heard it my whole life.
Yeah.
My great uncle. And I had no idea that it was such a known thing. I just didn't know that. I grew up hearing about it, hearing about him, and knowing that he was part of that. He got very sick with malaria in the jungle somewhere and came back. But he would never talk about it. He was very traumatized by the whole thing and would never really speak about it. You know, he had PTSD back before they just called it shell shocked. You know, they didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And so he never really talked about it. And he was actually although I'm an Alabama grad and RTR, he was an Auburn track star before he went. And so he was this really fit, amazing man. And he went over there and kind of came back a shell of himself, and the malaria really took it out of him. But I just thought that was really neat that it was on yesterday, and I hadn't heard that episode. And so that was just, I decided I was going to buy my mom the book from the Fighting Preacher for, I think she'll really enjoy that for Christmas, if I can find one. It's very hard.
They just re-released it. I think you can get it, if you just Google the name, they may actually sell it. From the family themselves may actually sell copies too, but yeah, it's a great read. One of my favorite books, and I know I had somebody tell me yesterday they found it on Amazon, so it might be there too. But hey, thanks
for that was your paperback.
That was your uncle, right? You said
my great uncle, my grandmother's brother.
Well, I tell you right now, the fact that he came back at all was amazing because the attrition rate on those guys was significant. And thank you for his service. We appreciate it very much.
Yes.
All right, Lee, a great call. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for calling in. Well, Lee is so good at that. I'm telling you, Boomer, she could guest host this show. Just go ahead and plan on it. Next time, it's not going to be Yaffe. We're not going to play a best of. We're just going to go ahead and call Lee from Huntsville.
Huntsville, come on in.
I'm just saying. All right, hey, listen, I'm going to go walk through some of the stories here on Medicaid and Medicaid expansion. Now, understand, here's the way Medicaid works. If you're not familiar, I mean, even when I got into state politics, I kind of had to get plussed up on this. It was one of those things that I had heard about, knew of it. I thought it was for poor people or something like that, you know, or if you were out of work. I didn't. Anyway, no. Here's the deal. Medicaid is a state and federal collaboration to provide health care to people who are supposed to be at the lower strata of income, all right? So the reality is this. It was originally designed to make sure that the underserved in our communities did not go without potential good health care. All right. It has morphed since then. Right now, what we're looking at is Medicaid, if we expand it, what does that mean? Well, currently, roughly 25% of Alabama's population is currently somewhere in the Medicaid rolls. It might be the child's health care. It might be the overall Medicaid plan. It might be some portion related to ambulatory care. But the reality is Medicaid, 25% of our state population already is on what is basically an entitlement program. And this entitlement program, if you expand it, you're not saying, all we need to do is expand Medicaid. When you expand Medicaid, you don't, add different services. Expanding Medicaid means expanding the opportunities for enrollment. In other words, you lower the bar for enrollment qualifications. So when you expand Medicaid the way that Obamacare tried to mandate, and then in, I think, 2014, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't mandate this because you're mandating states spend money. See, the federal government gives a match. And in this case, the expansion piece would add a lowball estimate of 200 and something thousand more Alabamians to the Medicaid rolls. What does that mean? Well, when I was in the legislature and Obamacare first passed, my recollection was that we were going to get a 90% match. I think it was 100% at first, then it would go to 90% match from the federal government, and then I think at some point it would drop lower than that, but that would phase out a little bit. And then it would settle down into the usual Medicaid match. The idea, though, that we were going to be okay with this was going to be a perpetual, something like, and I'm reaching back here, several hundred million dollars more to the general fund budget, of which Medicaid and corrections already consumed something like 44%. So what you're saying there is, hey, it's cool. You're going to hear all the arguments. There's money on the table. The federal government will pay for it. Yeah, for like 3 or 4 years. And then what? And then what happens if the federal government decides to change its mind later at all? What if they say, you know, budgets being what they were, we finally decided to be fiscally responsible. Don't hold your breath. But what if they did and they said, we're going to have to lower the match, y'all. We can't sustain this. Oh, now all of a sudden you've got probably closer to 30% or more of your state population enrolled in a government-run healthcare plan, and we have to make up the difference. This is not a free ride. I want to remind you all, too, that when you say the federal government matches, where do you think that money comes from? That's our tax dollars, too. So the point here is, It is not a sustainable option for us to just simply go, you know what, let's just do that. Now, there's an organization called PARCA. I've not usually been a big fan of PARCA, the Public Affairs Research Council of Alabama. My perception has been, and someone out there, I guarantee, is going to take issue with this, but my perception has always been that PARCA is sort of a research for hire. What do you need studies on? You want it to say what? Okay, let's work on that. And then they'll come back with a study. PARCA came out with a study that shows that we would make money as a state if we would expand Medicaid. Well, go figure. How does that work? Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's how they say that works. Because right now there are rural hospitals that are not able to fully sustain their operations in a profitable manner. Why? Because they have less of an income strata to work with in their particular rural region. And so they want Medicaid because then they'll have more people living in and around that rural hospital, especially the rural hospitals, but really it's hospitals everywhere, that will qualify for something that pays the bill. And by doing that, the hospitals are gaining, and the hospitals then say they'll provide a provider tax to the state. And oh, by the way, it generates revenue. We can hire more nurses. We can bring in more doctors, cats and dogs and unicorns, and the sun will always rise. And so what they're saying here is we'll make money. We'll spend money to make money. I got news. There is a converse theory that says, let's look at history first. Alabama chose not to do Obamacare's Medicaid expansion. We're one of about 12 states that said, that's not a good fit for us, and we don't like it. And you know, and there are times when I get frustrated with Governor Ivey on this one. I support her position on this. She has still been of the mind, much like Governor Bentley was, that we do not need to expand. All that to say, we are now at a point where they're calling for it again, and we have a brand new batch of legislators who haven't even had a chance to put the you know their diplomas on the wall in their office in Montgomery yet, may not even know where the bathrooms are or how to use parliamentary procedure, but they're already being talked to right now about Medicaid expansion. And it's a dangerous road to go down, in my opinion, in this era that we're in of big government and top-heavy government, to consider adding more on top by expanding. And what it also does, by the way, and I mentioned this to Lee, and I'll talk about it more in a minute, what it also does is it disincentivizes people to actively engage in productivity and to actually enter the workforce because they have to stay at a lower threshold to avoid having to be in a place where they have to go get their own insurance or provide or have a job that provides the insurance. I mean, why would you? You got free coverage. You might even get your student loan paid off. Might get an Obama phone. I mean, you can stack those entitlements up and do pretty well. So, and I say that. That sounds very condescending. You know what? I won't try to say they get rich. But what I will try to say is the taxpayers wind up footing the bill for things that didn't have to happen. And it's time for us to stop talking about, let's expand another government program and figure out how best we can work a private sector solution if there is one. All right, I ran long on that diatribe. So, Boomer, go ahead and take me to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'll move into some articles on this. I've even got some audio on it with the governor talking. And then top of the hour, my friend Tripp Pittman, former state senator. We served together in Montgomery. He's got all the ins and outs. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I got one texter here, no name on this one, I won't, because I don't know if he wants me to say his name on this one, but one of our texters just texted in and says, I work and I'm on Obamacare. And yeah, that's a different deal altogether. I'm talking about Medicaid, but Obamacare had a provision in it that forced the states to enroll more Medicaid recipients. Working and being on Obamacare is one of the means by which you can get insurance, but by going through the marketplace And there are problems with some aspects of that, but that's not what I'm talking about. So just so you know, to the person who just texted in, apples and oranges, I'm talking about Medicaid, which is for a entirely different income level that does not otherwise have the ability to get even on Obamacare, for that matter. So there's that. Hey, listen, so it depends on where you get your news. In this state, if you go to 1819news.com, you'll find stories that talk about expansion of Medicaid very pragmatically and will give you sort of the facts and balls and strikes, if you will. And then if you go to AL.com, you'll hear, we've got to hurry up and expand. We're running out of time. We got to do this. And it just depends upon where you source your news. And I'm not going to get into all of it yet, but I will tell you this. I've got one here from 1819. Says the new House General Fund Budget Chair Rex Reynolds says there's not going to be a broad expansion of Medicaid, in his opinion, but there are pockets of it we need to look at. That sounds like the camel's getting his nose under the tent, in my opinion. Another story from 1819 talks about the fact that the federal government is now forcing Alabama to change some of its policies to open up a coverage to certain Medicaid recipients for hepatitis C. That's what happens when federal money gets attached to things. They tell you how to spend it. And then another story from AL.com. Time running out for Alabama to expand Medicaid. Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. But let me do this. Before we run out of time on this segment, and I'm going to have a call with somebody here after the next hour break. Boomer, you got that audio clip? Here's an audio clip from a WBRC news story on this possibility that occurred just, I think, about 6 weeks ago, to include a clip from the governor. So, Boomer, go ahead and play it.
The Affordable Care Act, known to many as Obamacare, called for Medicaid expansion nationwide. But back in 2012, the Supreme Court ruled that states can't be forced to expand their Medicaid program and now can decide if they want to participate. Alabama is one of 12 states that opted out.
This is a pro-life issue, Ms. Governor. If you're truly pro-life, then act like you're pro-life and sign this bill.
These organizations say federal money to pay for most of the program is on the table, but the governor says Alabama can't afford it.
Certainly everybody deserves quality health care, but the state can't afford to expand Medicaid because it's a worthy program. How do we pay for it long term?
All right, there you go. And that's the governor's position. I support that position. It's not a question of whether there's money on the table today. And that's always the short side of view. The federal government will pay for it. It's free money. It's not free money. It's, first of all, it's our tax dollars. Secondly, you look at it and go, and what's our portion today? And what's our portion that we have to pay 2 years from now? Oh, by the way, what are we doing to the overall system? And have we created more entitlement opportunities that just defeat the ability to get people back to work in a state that has a good unemployment rate, but a very poor labor participation rate? The argument's always going to be that if we just expand it, we'll be helping more people. Well, what we're doing, too, is also putting together something that may wind up being so unwieldy that we cannot manage it later on. And if our budgets get tight, what do we cut? Because once you've got people on health care and you're paying for it, good luck changing that later. So then what do we cut? Let's go ahead and cut the Department of Mental Health. And while we're at it, let's cut state troopers. You know what? We're going to have to cut back on correction staff. We don't have enough money to be able to fund more people to keep track of all the murderers that are in jail. It's all in the same budget, y'all. It's not like this is a standalone thing. We don't have a Medicaid budget. We have a line item within the general fund budget for Medicaid match dollars that we have to spend. And the more we open the enrollment, the further that we expand the program to include more and more and more people, which, by the way, I'll probably talk about it with Trip Pittman here in a minute, but multiple states have chosen to go down the Obamacare expansion of Medicaid route, and it has far and away exceeded anything they ever thought they would have to deal with, like sometimes by triple the amount they're having to pay. Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, State Senator Trip Pittman and I talking about expansion of Medicaid. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.